Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, here for a minute. Lord, we bless you. We give you honor and praise forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
My plan shall surely and quickly come to pass. For I've ordained from the foundation of the world for this body to rise up, for this body to shine, for this body to go forth, for this body to demonstrate my glory and my power. And as you yield to my spirit and spend time with me, you'll rise up in your spirit man, and the glory of God you shall see. And you'll go forth from place to place, and you'll demonstrate my goodness and my grace. And city after city, and nation after nation, shall know who I am, because I've called you to go to different places out of this place. This new place where I'm sending you shall be a place where you're going to grow, and you're going to increase more and more and more and more. And as you lift up the name of Jesus, you shall see city after city and place after place, individual after individual and family after family. They'll be changed. They'll be changed by the glory and the power and the love of God. So get ready and prepare your heart. Open up yourself to my spirit and allow me to work through you like I've ordained for you to be a vessel of honor, prepared for every good work. So yield right now and begin to yield more and more. And the glory of the Lord shall rest upon you. And the anointing and the wisdom of God, it'll flow through you like a river. And many will see. For I'm going to demonstrate my word and my spirit. The word of God causing people to grow and rise up into me in all things. And the glory of God and the demonstration of the spirit to show people that I am a miracle working God who changes not, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Desiring to see a work in the land where I'm sending you, this new place, out of this new place, ministries will be birthed, families will be changed, and even nations shall be touched by the power of God. So get ready and go with a great expectation in your heart, knowing that everything is in place for you to stand tall, for you to run your race.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Ask in a book, ask in a book. Era moras and a brot. Zera maron angela no moskin and I. Dogora manga ronoshin and a masik. Era mama mangro nongo ya namasini. Zilam ro mama marot na namasini. Zira mangelo nongo ya namra mama namaski. Zira masini. Skila buraka naskila. Skila buraka. For I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, there's a new voice upon the earth. There's a new voice that's to be heard. It's the voice of my Spirit calling out to distant lands. It's the voice of my Spirit calling out to those far abroad, calling them unto me, calling them unto my will, calling them unto my plan, calling them unto the graces and the places that I preordained before time began that they should walk in. Oh, where's that sound coming from? Where's that voice that's being heard? Oh, it's found from this church. It's found from this body of believers. It's found from this ecclesia, the called out ones. And this voice will spread from place to place. This word will be heard here and abroad. And as it grows and as it develops, know that it's my spirit who's bringing people forth. Know that it's my spirit calling unto the darkness, reaching them with light, bringing them over into the plans that I've ordained for them. So in the midst of growth, and in the midst of that voice being heard, don't forget it's the voice of my spirit that's to be heard, and not the voice of a man, not the voice of a particular person, but the voice of those anointed by my spirit to speak forth the words that I placed in their mouth. For the time has come for light to arise, and the time has come for believers to draw nigh, and the time has come for ministers to step in into the graces that I have for them. For there's anointings that are needed in these days to break open the chains and to release the hearts of those who've been held captive for so long. There's anointings being birthed that'll bring back the glory and the fire of days gone by. There's anointings that are being brought forth. Yes, even brought forth into this next wave, this next place. Oh, there's anointings being brought forth there that'll go yonder, that'll go out. And from their mouths, the anointing of God will break open all that is being bound, will set the captives free. So know there's a new voice in the earth. There's a new voice to be heard. And it's my spirit speaking from your spirits that'll go forth into the darkness and bring forth a marvelous light. Oh, it'll be so great. And it'll be so wonderful. And it'll build upon generation after generation. And the work that'll be established will be one that'll last forever, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Change taking place in the earth today. Oh my. The time has come for change. A shift in the body. A shift in this Christian wave. A moving on into higher things. A moving in to greater things. Change, change, change. And as the church steps forth over into that place, and as that change is taking place there, it'll cause things to have a ripple effect in the natural. And it'll ripple over into governments. And it'll ripple over, even into schools. It'll ripple over into the generations that are alive today. For the time has come for light to break forth in the darkness. For too long and for so long, men have been dominated by the natural. What they see, what they think. It started out in the church and now it's spread greater ever. Over into governments. Over into positions of man. But the change will break forth into the church. a change that for no longer will people be dominated by their natural minds, but they'll be led forth by my Spirit. And as they take that place in me, says the Spirit of grace, it'll ripple over into the natural. It'll ripple over into politicians. It'll ripple over into leaders. And my Spirit will begin having His way, even in governments, even in cities, even in states, and even in nations. For you see, I'm preparing a work that's to be done in the earth. I'm preparing things and setting up things to be done by my Spirit in these days. For the time has come for people to see me. And the time has come for people to know me. And the time has come, yes, for even signs and wonders to be wrought among you. For my fame is to be known. And my glory is to be spread abroad. And the time has come for that wave to begin. For you've been in it in a measure here or there. But you see, there's going to be a cross wave. A wave that breaks forth from the place we're stepping into. And that wave will go out and spread abroad from church to church. And then those churches will raise up believers who will touch their natural worlds, touch the natural realms, and a change will be brought forth by my Spirit, says the Lord. For even sudden things taking place, yes, in governments, in economies, sudden things. Some may look and seem as if they're negative, but I'm at work and I'm setting things up, moving things into position for what I'm desiring to do. So when it seems like things may not be going the way you think they ought to go, rejoice and be glad, knowing that my Spirit is at work and my hand is moving things, changing things, tweaking things. And it'll cause things to be right. And it'll cause things to be the way they should be. Yes, and even things within, even in the economy will return to their former glory. But there'll be changes that are made, things that take place that position us for that. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a season of change. Yeah. This year, setting the pace. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah forevermore. Hallelujah forevermore. Hallelujah forevermore.
And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that by my Spirit, in the past where there's been struggling and where there's been difficulties, as you spend time with me, says the Holy Spirit, as you spend time and get to know me better, things that have held you back are going to be stripped away. Fears will be stripped away. Anxiety will be stripped away. Thinking you can't do things that I'm calling you to do, it'll be stripped away. And when those things are stripped away from you, you'll see yourself standing tall. You'll see yourself walking in the anointing of God. You'll see yourself moving out and demonstrating the Spirit of God in your natural world and in the realm of the supernatural. As you spend time with me and those things are stripped away, you'll see that even as I send you in other places and whole communities that have been bound, as you stand and speak the Word of God, even whole groups of people, things will be stripped away by the Spirit of God. Because as things are stripped away from you, you'll be free to go and do thou likewise to others. So know that as you spend time with me, there will be things that I'll deal with by the Spirit, and I will strip those former things away, and you'll never be held back again. You'll never be captive to those things again, and you'll walk free, and you'll be free to do the things that I'm calling you to do, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. And we're grateful. I'm grateful. Thank you, Jesus. You've been good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated this evening. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord's been good to us. I tell you what, it's amazing to see what God is doing, what He has done. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years in this place. It's our last Wednesday night. I was going through my old desk a couple of weeks ago and saw pictures of when I was 7, 8 years old, standing in front of the church. And it's amazing. Amazing to see where God's brought us, where He's taking us to. We have much to be excited about and much to be grateful for. I would say for me, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, what's it like? What emotions? And, you know, for me, I've had time. You know, you don't just build a building overnight. You know, it seems like it sometimes. But we've had a good 2 years, as far as I have, to prep my heart and those types of things. And so the primary emotions I have are, first of all, excitement. Excitement about what God is doing. I feel as if I'm just now getting over into destiny. You see, it's the perfect plan of God and the perfect will of God was never for Ronnie Sims to die in his 40s and for me to take over the church the way it happened. No, it's never the perfect plan of God. For anybody, amen, to pass away in that age group. But I do know in my heart of hearts that my calling and my destiny was to pastor the church. I don't know all the seam works of how God was working it. But I do know that probably this season that I'm in now would be about the time where I would probably take over. And my father, he was a teacher and a prophet. And he operated out of those ministry gifts a lot. And, you know, he's a pastor for sure. But even towards the end there, just knowing him personally and seeing some of the things that were evolving in his life, you can see how I think ultimately he would have been a traveling minister. And travel out and teach and preach and operate in those giftings that God had given him. And then I would have been groomed under him to take over the church around this season, this time. And so I think even the building is a part of that, how it's shaped and how it's formed and different things along that nature. And so I'm excited to get over into the things that God has for me. Though even the fullness of the pastoral office that I stand in, we haven't seen yet. I haven't seen yet. We're just on the brink of those things. The last 10 years have been training, just like they would have been had my father been here. Does that make sense? You're training and you're learning things. You're learning how to teach and preach. You're learning how to flow with the Holy Ghost. You're learning how to study and organize and manage things. And so it was a learning experience. And that's why God's kept us here. Really, He's kept us in the cleft of the rock.
for that training to take place. Because when we get out there to Lakeland, it's going to be prime time. And with that, we need it to be trained. And we need it to be developed. And we need it to know how to walk in some things. We need it to know how to move with the supernatural. See, God is raising up a supernatural church. And see, before, several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I was so interested in natural things when it comes to the church. You know, everything from screens and message titles and designing billboards and invite cards and all those things. And that's all well and good. And I think necessary in so many ways. But see, now we've had a staff that's been able to grow up from that, that I can delegate some of the organizational things. And I can delegate some of the natural advertising things. And really, I'll be honest, I have no interest for them anymore. You know, before, I could talk to you all day about visitor programs. It's part of the training. But now, I could care less, to be honest with you. I'm glad we have them. I'll do my part and be faithful to make mention of it every single time I preach. At the end of every service. But my affection is set on other things. The things of the Spirit and the things of God and teaching and preaching. And before I'd sit down and look at billboards and advertisements and plan all of that stuff. But now I can just trust other people that they know what I would have done. And they can go out there and run with it. And in many ways, I was telling them the other day, I think I'd hold them back. You know, even my interests have changed. Even in praise and worship, as far as I get, is about 1983. Phil Driscoll is kind of my, and so with that, my style is changing. And I was telling the guys, you know, they were showing me some different pieces of media they were wanting to send out, and I could tell I was tempering them. I was holding them back. Whereas before, I'd say, let's make this more modern or make it more contemporary. And, you know, so anyway, we're delegating those things. And we haven't even seen just a little bit of it yet, but we're stepping over into the fullness of that office. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about what's taking place in the church, excited about what's taking place in the staff, excited about what's taking place in me. I'm excited about Lakeland Drive. I'm excited about the call that God has for that place. And then my second emotion is just gratitude. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for God for the chance. I'm grateful for God for the opportunity. I'm grateful that He's placed people in my life who have helped me make the most of it. I'm grateful that He's patient. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful for His patience. And I'm going to make it pay off. We're going to make it pay off. And so I'm excited about the future. And I'm grateful for what we've had. I'm not sad, overly sad. You know, I've enjoyed this place and probably spent more time in it than almost anybody here. Maybe other than Janet and Dean and some of these people who've been working here since we opened. But my emotion is not sadness, it's gratitude. I'm grateful for all the things we've seen in these altars. Everything from the time all the JSU students came down, the whole football team came down to get born again and rededicated. And grateful for having men like Brother Hagin in the pulpit. And grateful for having men like my father come and operate in the giftings and anointings. And I'm grateful for all the people we've had come through sitting in the seats. Even other ministers who are out there and, you know, now pastoring their own churches and doing what God's called them to do. I'm grateful that they were able to sit in these places and these seats and get the impartations that they were given to do what God's called them to do. And so I'm just grateful. I'm grateful all the way around. And I'm excited. He's brought us a long way. But friends, I'm telling you, We haven't seen anything yet. The best is yet to come. That's the absolute truth. Open up your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Someone was asking me the other day, what are you going to do for the opening day? You know, I think they're expecting some kind of magic show. I said, I'm going to do the only thing I know to do. That's preach the word. Teach the word. I can't think of any better way than close something out or open something up than around the word of God and flowing with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4. I'm not going to go real long tonight. The Lord held back my message, and I see why. But there are some things I want you to see here in regarding the subject we've been preaching on the last couple of Wednesday nights. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18. Well, you know what? Let's start in verse 16. And it said, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, I'm so thankful I was brought up in this place. And my parents made it a custom to be here every single time the doors were open. And Jesus' parents had apparently done the same thing. Brought him up in church, so much so it was his custom, his habit. And so this was something he had been doing since a child. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue or the church on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now verse 19 is what I want to get at. But notice Jesus gets up, and really this is his first message. In fact, if you read other Gospels, you see where Jesus had a tailor message, a message he went to almost every time. And it was this message. He opens up the book of Isaiah and starts talking to him about how the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do a lot of things. You know, he goes through the list. Many of these are self-explanatory. To preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, that makes sense. To preach deliverance to the captives. That's good. Recovering of the sight to the blind, that's wonderful. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Those are all things we can readily understand. Then in our minds, it doesn't take any bit of imagination to see Jesus helping those who are brokenhearted. Delivering those who are captive. Opening the eyes of those who are blind. But for us today, with our culture and with our thinking, we can readily understand those things. But in verse 19, I don't think we have a revelation of this verse like they had it then. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What in the world does that mean? Opening blind eyes? I get. Preaching the gospel to the poor? We can see that. But what is the acceptable year of the Lord? Well, there are many different commentaries on this, but without fail, it is impossible to study the Word of God and not know what Jesus is talking about here. And if you understand this, you get a whole new idea on debt freedom. The acceptable year of the Lord was first made mention in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25. In fact, I'm preaching tonight with my Dakes Bible. I have two Bibles that I mainly use. My Dakes Bible is my study Bible. My other preaching Bible is one that's in a zip-up cover. I asked my brother Hagen Bible, my Rhema study Bible, and I'll rotate between the two. typically, I'll study out of this one because my other one I've been using so much, it's starting to get beat up. And so I'm trying to rotate to this one a little bit more. But in this one, it's got great references. And when it gets to this place of to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, he makes reference of this. The acceptable year, and he writes this in his commentary, or period typified by the year of Jubilee, when liberty was proclaimed to all people on the Day of Atonement. When the atonement of Christ is fully embraced, the sick, sinful, helpless, and needy are restored health, holiness, power, and prosperity, and full dominion over Satan, and membership and communion in God's family. So notice, even here in his commentary, he says the acceptable year of the Lord, or period, is typified by the year of Jubilee, when liberty was proclaimed to all people on the Day of Atonement. And he gives the scripture reference, Leviticus 25, 8 through 13. So Jesus gets up, and apparently, even in the book of Matthew, it says that Jesus published this message throughout all Judea, meaning he preached this everywhere he went. Well, what's he preaching? He's preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, what's the acceptable year of the Lord? Apparently, it's found in Leviticus chapter 25. So let's go over to Leviticus chapter 25 and find out what the acceptable year of the Lord is. Leviticus chapter 25. And I tell you what, friends, I got blessed when I found out what he was talking about. Leviticus chapter 25. And let's notice here in verse 8. Leviticus 25 and verse 8. Watch what he says here. It says, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbath of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years." Well, what does that scripture mean? He's giving them instruction on what to do every 49th year. He's giving them detailed instruction that on this particular year, everybody's to do something. He said, number out 7 years and times it by 7 or 49, and something's supposed to take place on that year. Well, what is that? Verse 9. "Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family." Now, notice this. Well, let's keep reading. "A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in, for the vine shall be undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruit shall he eat unto thee." Now go down to verse 17. "You shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God." Now this year of jubilee is fascinating stuff. Basically, that period of time between the 49th and the 50th year was to be a year of jubilee. And in this year of jubilee, basically, everybody's debts in the nation were canceled. If you owed anybody money, come that 49th year, you better get ready to not be getting paid anymore. Because it was your job on that 49th year to release them of their debts. See, back at that time, if you couldn't pay your bills, you couldn't file for bankruptcy. If you didn't pay your bills, they came and got you and got any of your kids and they made you work off the payment. Have you ever heard someone, you know, go into a restaurant, you forgot your money, and you probably heard stories of people who had to work it off, meaning that's not good enough to come in here and eat. You owe us some money, so you better go back to that kitchen and dry some dishes. And you're going to dry dishes until you've worked off what you owed us. Well, you can remember even over in the book of Kings how the widow woman was very nervous because her husband had just died and apparently left him heavily in debt. And she went to the prophet and said, "We need some help here because if you don't come and help us, they're going to come take my sons away from me and they're going to have to work off the debt." So in this year of Jubilee, not only were your debts released, but anyone who was held in bondage by the creditor or bondage by the person who was owed the money, they not only had to release the debt, they had to let the person go too. And this was to take place at the end of every 49th year. That year of Jubilee would be sounded. And if anybody owed any money, or if anybody was working to pay off any debt, they were immediately set free. And not just that, they were under direct instruction that that year they weren't to work, that the ground would produce so much in itself that they would be provided for on their own. They called this the year of Jubilee. It's also known as the year of the Lord's release. So every 50th year, every debt, every one of them, every debt in the nation of Israel was canceled every 50th year. They let those people go. Now go back over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And notice what Jesus says. This was called the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of Jubilee is the acceptable year of the Lord. It is the year of the Lord's release. So get on forward to the book of Luke here. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is coming into the synagogue. They deliver unto him the book of Isaiah. And he starts talking. And he says in verse 18, "Once again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, every theologian that I've read after has that I've seen it has said that it was not the 50th year yet. But here Jesus is up there preaching, it's the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that makes sense when you notice the following scriptures. Watch this. "And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of them were fastened in the synagogue upon him. And he began to say, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" What's he saying? "I'm your Jubilee." Jesus is saying, from now on, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for blind eyes to be opened. I'm your Jubilee. You don't have to wait if your heart is hurting to have it mended. I'm your Jubilee. You don't have to wait if you're brokenhearted for that heart to be mended. If you're bruised, you don't have to wait to be whole. If you're captive, you don't have to wait to be free, because it's the acceptable year of the Lord now that I've come. And it's not just every 50th year. It's every day of every year. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What's he saying? I'm your Jubilee. You don't have to wait for a year. Now all you have to do is trust in me.
Friends, Jesus came to set us free. Free spirit, free spiritually, free in our minds, free from emotional pain, free from physical pain, and free from all sickness and disease, and also free from every bit of debt that you have ever tasted. Friends, listen to me. Debt is a curse. It is a curse. You can read Deuteronomy chapter 28. And right after it lists all the sicknesses that will come as a result of the curse of the law, it lists debt. Debt is a curse. And it is designed by the enemy to hold you in bondage so that you cannot do what God has called you to do. It's designed, see, it's grounded in fear. It's grounded in fear. People get afraid that if I don't go into debt, I'll never be able to get the house. I'll never be able to get the car. I'll never be able to build the new building. If I don't go into debt, I'll never be able to have it. And it's rooted in fear. And every bit of fear is directly tied to bondage. Have you ever seen someone lie? Why did they lie? They were afraid. Well, what happened when they told that lie? That fear brought them into bondage. Now they're bound to it. And they're walking nervously. They're walking on eggshells, hoping no one finds out the truth. This happens with children. This happens with employees. This happens with friends. When they lied because of fear. As I heard Brother Copeland say this, he said, as every little child would say, or he said this one particular child said, I think who was 7 years old in the second grade, they asked him, what's a lie? And he said, a lie is two things. It's an abomination of God, and it's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And it's true, a lot of people view lying that way. If I know I'm about to get in trouble, I better save my hide. It's fear-based, and that fear leads to bondage. And we've all been there before, even as a kid. You're hoping people don't find out the truth, and you're bound by that fear. Well, it's the same way with debt. Debt was designed by the enemy to do the same thing sickness does. And that's eat away at you. And you notice any time where debts are mentioned in the Bible, people are distressed, sad, nervous, and anxious. Even something as simple as, remember the guy who was cutting down the tree and lost his axe head? And immediately when that axe head went in the water, he gets all fearful, all afraid, and he said, alas, my master, it was a borrowed axe head. And God caused a miracle to get that man out of debt. Friends, I'm telling you, God wants you free from the stuff. He can't stand it. He wants you out of it. And He's designed systems to make you free. The acceptable year of the Lord is the year of the Lord's release. And Jesus said you don't have to wait till the 49th year. Even that wouldn't be a bad deal if every 50 years every debt was canceled for us. But He's saying you don't have to wait for that anymore. I am your jubilee. If you want more information on this, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 15 and do your homework there and see that the covenant grew from every 50 years to every seventh year. And every seventh year, the same thing happened. Anyone who was in any bondage, had any type of debt, was immediately set free. Let's go over there and look at it, just real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 15. I'll close with this. Deuteronomy chapter 15. I want you to see this with your own eyes and not just believe me because I'm saying it. Deuteronomy chapter 15, we'll close down with this. And watch what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 1. The covenant is growing. It grew from 49 years down to 7 years, all the way down to Jesus that said it's every year. Deuteronomy chapter 15, at the end of every 7 years thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner, meaning someone who's not in the nation of Israel, someone without a covenant with God, thou mayest exact it again. But that which is thine, meaning people who are in covenant, with thy brother, thine hand shall release.
save when there be no poor among you. Why is God doing this? Why is he canceling all the debt? So that there will be no poor among them. For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he has promised thee. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. And this happened every 7 years. Every seventh year, there was a release made in the land. Well, friends, here's what I want to get at. The year of the Lord's release, it's enacted presently. It's been enacted ever since Jesus got up to preach it. Well, how come we haven't seen releases? The principal reason is people haven't known to exercise faith for it. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And friends, I want to encourage you to start exercising your faith to pay off your debts. I heard a preacher say he went up to visit an older preacher in Kentucky. And when he got up there in Kentucky, this man sat down with him and was talking to him. And he said, if you could give me one word of wisdom, what would it be? And this older minister who was sitting on his front porch there in Kentucky, he said, if I could give you one word of wisdom, this would be it. People always talk about where they're going. And if you want to find out where you or anybody else is headed, just listen to the words that come out of their mouth. And it's the honest to God's truth. People always talk about where they're going. And if you want to be debt free, you got to start talking about being debt free. When you walk around your house, say this countertop is paid for. This floor is paid for. When you crank up the car, crank it up and say you are paid for. When you're paying off bills, tell those bills you are paid for. I'll close with this final story. I really am closing. Brother Hagin said, I was listening to him, and actually heard another minister tell this Sunday morning, but I heard Brother Hagin tell the same story a couple of weeks ago on a CD I was listening to. And he said, years ago, there was a man who was dying in his church. This man was in his early 30s. And naturally, when something like that happens, when someone's on their deathbed, the church came together to pray. And when they were praying, the Lord arrested Brother Hagin. And he told him to stop praying. And the Lord told this to Brother Hagin. He said, spiritual laws have been set in motion. Said a couple of other things to him. But that was the main thing that he said. Spiritual laws have been set in motion. They're in operation. You can't pray him out of this. Spiritual laws have already been set in motion. Well, that kind of baffled him. He didn't quite understand what the Lord was getting at. And later, you know, he wound down the prayer service. And sure enough, a couple days later, the man died. Well, they went over to the funeral, Brother Hagin did. And while he was there, he heard all the relatives talking. And they were saying, you know, he always said ever since a boy with such conviction that I'll never live past age so-and-so. He said it in his 30s. He named an age in his 30s. I'll never live past that age. Then he went over to some of his high school and college friends, and they were saying the same thing. That even in high school, even in college, he was saying, I'll never live past this particular age. Well, what's happening when he's doing that? He's setting up spiritual law. And that spiritual law is in operation in his life. And unless there is repentance, there's no going back from it. That law will carry out exactly what God said it would. Well, when I heard that story a couple of weeks ago, it was very interesting. Because I had some things that I was, to be honest with, kind of anxious about. Overcoming spiritually, if you will. Just meditating in the Word. And when I heard that, the Lord brought me over to some of my confessions that I was saying. Chiefly, I'll always make the phrase in my confessions, by my words I'm justified and by my words I am condemned. And basically, I'd been saying some strong confessions. I mean, every day making confessions of faith. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, you don't even have to think about that situation.
He said, the reason you don't have to think about it is spiritual laws have already been set in motion. You've been saying that for months now, day after day, with conviction and faith. And unless you repent from it now and say you don't want it, you will see that in your life. Now, this was a good thing. This was something I was confessing and believing for. And he was saying, you don't even have to think about trying to obtain it. Spiritual laws have already been set in motion. And unless you come and say, I don't want that anymore, Lord, I repent from that, then it's coming to you one way or another. Because those spiritual laws have been set in motion. By your words, you're justified. And by your words, you are condemned. So with being debt-free, like I said, don't try to figure it out in your noggin. Don't think about it. Don't try to calculate, well, if we pay this and if we do that, yeah, do the things in the natural. But friends, you're not limited to all the natural. You serve a God who is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and provides. You serve a God who is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Last week we saw where he told Abraham, fear not, Abraham, for I am your speedy, ever increasing source of compensation and salary. And friends, I'm telling you, God can come in your life and touch it in such a way that he pays off things supernaturally. So start releasing your faith. Set that spiritual law in motion by saying, I am debt free. God wants me in liberty. It's the year of the Lord's release. I'm being released from all my debt. I'm being released from everything that would bind me. And I will be the blessing God has called me to. Amen. Every head bowed. Amen. God's good to us. Every head bowed. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is able to give us all grace so that in all things we are self-sufficient, requiring no aid or financial support. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that this is the start of a wonderful journey. We'll be faithful to set our spiritual laws in motion by calling those things that be not as though they were. We call our homes paid for. We call our cars paid for. We call that new church paid for. We call phase two paid for. We thank you, Lord. We walk in the liberty that is in Christ. We walk in the acceptable year of the Lord. And Father, you free us up financially so that we can be a blessing, so that we can fund churches and ministries, so that we can fund missionaries and people who are in need of things. We thank you, Lord. We're strong so that we can bear the burdens of the week. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Father, for everyone giving tonight with their tithes and offerings, bless them, Lord. Increase them. Cause every seed that they sow to be multiplied. And we thank you, Lord, that this seed that they're sowing comes back to them in many ways, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We love you, Lord, so much. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.